This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, radio for the rest of us, and welcome to you who are atheists, agnostics, skeptics, free thinkers, or are just curious to know more about what non-believers think.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Free Thought Radio, you're right, Annie Laurie, it's radio for the rest of us, it's radio as godless as our Constitution. Today is October the 5th, 2013. Free Thought Radio is broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. And we also, a few days later, we podcast. We also broadcast in other cities, other states around the country. You might be hearing us in California or New York or maybe in Michigan or Missouri or in Texas. So welcome to all you listeners to Free Thought Radio.
And Free Thought Radio is the production of FFRF. That's the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Note the from. We work to keep religion out of government as dictated by the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And we represent the views of those of us who are personally free from religion. And we're nearly 20,000. We're not quite there yet. So again,
we keep kind of going up and down.
If you're a listener and you're not a member, it is deductible for income tax purposes. It means that you're helping with this broadcast. It means that you're helping with our dozen lawsuits. You're helping to support our staff of now 5 attorneys. We are welcoming somebody at the end of the month to join our legal team. We have about 14 staffers, and we do a great deal, so it would be very welcome. And we'd like to get way past 20,000. We'd like to be 50,000, so sign up at FFRF.org.
We hope today you will join us, and the world will be as one. Our guest today on the second half of Free Thought Radio will be Aisha Goss. She's the deputy director of the Secular Coalition for America.
And FFRF is a member of the Secular Coalition. It's a secular lobbying group. We'll talk more about what it does in half an hour.
The foundation is growing, as Annie Laurie said, 20,000 members.
Almost.
And we have a very surprise announcement to make now. Steven Pinker has agreed to become the honorary president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Our chairman of the executive council of our executive board, David Grothy, suggested that we invite Steven Pinker, the renowned scientist, psychologist, linguist, and popular science author who...
Harvard prof.
Harvard, yeah. He was at MIT, now he's at Proverb. Whom Time
Harvard.
Harvard.
Not at Proverb.
What did I say?
Proverb. That was kind of cute.
So Time Magazine called Pinker one of the 100 most influential thinkers in the world. So we just voted to accept him, and he's honored to become our honorary president, Steven Pinker. There are 5 musical freethinkers that have birthdays this week, this first week of October. John Lennon, Tim Minchin, Joe Hill, Thelonious Monk, and Giuseppe Verdi. We won't have time to talk about all of them too much, but we'll play some of their music and talk about them a little bit later in today's show. There's a lot of Free Thought birthdays this week, including 2 people who spoke at our 36th anniversary convention last weekend. Dan Savage turns 49 on October the 7th. He gave an excellent acceptance speech last weekend here in Madison, Wisconsin, when he received FFRF's Emperor Has No Clothes Award. That award is the golden statuette for the non-believer who epitomizes the child in the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, who tells it like it is. In this case, they tell it like it is about religion.
And Juan Mendez, who's the state representative from Arizona who gave a free thought invocation, gave a rousing acceptance speech. We also gave him the Emperor Award, and it was really fun to meet Juan. And speaking of birthdays, people who were at the convention, celebrities who had birthdays, we also want to wish an upcoming happy birthday to Julia Sweeney, whose birthday is October 10th, and she and Jill Sobule entertained, and always so fun to have at conventions because she's available for the autographs and to mingle and smooth, and everyone enjoys meeting her so much.
And she's so funny.
And we have a little bit of news, but I thought we'd talk a little bit more about that national convention. Our 36th annual convention had over 600 attendees, and that was at the downtown Concourse Hotel in Madison, Wisconsin, just off the Capitol Square. We had representatives from nearly 40 states. It might have actually been 40 states, plus four countries, Germany, Australia, Canada, and France. And the young man from Australia came up to me and I said, "Were you already in the country or did you fly to come just to this conference?" And he said, just to come to this conference, he has a friend or something in California, so he's doing one more thing. But so that's amazing.
Wow.
And we ate cake. We celebrated the very significant legal anniversaries of two of our speakers, and that's Jim McCollum, who won who was the little boy in the McCollum case that we've talked about a lot on this show. The first case, 1948, by the Supreme Court against religious indoctrination in the public schools. And it was very moving because Jay Rosenstein, who produced the Peabody Award-winning documentary about that case, The Lord Is Not on Trial Here Today, played the hour-long documentary, and then we brought Jim on for a standing ovation. It was really memorable.
65 years later.
And also Ellery Shemp, the 50th anniversary of the Shemp decision. He began that as a 16-year-old high school student. So these are great decisions. It was really wonderful to have these prime sources at our conference. And
we also had a little surprise. Two members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation who met on our FFRF forum, they contacted me, said they would like to get married while they were here in Madison. And so they got the license and everything. And they did. And we had them come up before the entire crowd. And we performed a free thought match not made in heaven wedding of Richard Hallas and Jana K. Weaver. They're from the Houston, Texas area.
Dan, you should explain why you can perform a free thought wedding.
Well, because one of the benefits of being a former clergy is that my ordination is still valid. In most states, my ordination allows me to perform weddings. In this case, a secular, non-believing wedding. And we want to thank Richard and Jana K. for becoming life members of the foundation during the convention. And several others, by the way, at the convention turned in lifetime memberships. And wasn't there another, like an afterlifer?
Yeah, which is a tongue-in-cheek category that had actually been suggested by a lifetime member who said, well, I gave $1,000, but you should be encouraging larger donors. And so we came up with the afterlifer for those who want their donation to live after them. And we had a scare also. A woman from Washington State became ill Saturday night right after the banquet dinner. It wasn't the food.
Was it listening to my music?
And it wasn't the music. She actually got to the ER and was having a stroke. And it reversed itself without the medicine having to be administered. But she spent two nights in the hospital. And she and her husband took the red eye back to the Pacific Northwest. And as soon as they got back on Tuesday, called me up. They must have been exhausted.
So she's fine. Yeah.
She's fine. She's going to be on blood thinners, and her blood pressure was way up there. But I couldn't believe it. She got on the phone and she said, I had the most wonderful time. So very gracious.
She had to be carted out of the emergency room.
Julie Idden, and George is her husband, and many of you called our office or asked during the convention about them, so we're very pleased to tell you the good news. And now, FFRF has always a lot of work to do in Tennessee to make them toe the constitutional line in public schools. And so we have a short clip from WSMV4 out of Tennessee. And this is about a complaint that's, well, it's a victory, if not completely what we wanted. The Winchester, Tennessee school ended up recommending a moment of silence instead of a prayer before PTA meetings. And this segment does quote FFRF staff attorney Andrew Seidel.
Tonight, one local school district is facing heat for bringing prayer and religious influence into the classrooms.
You can't pray before a public school football game in Tennessee, and you can't do it at school unless it's all voluntary. So what about parent-teacher organization meetings? That's what's up for debate tonight. And people on both sides of the issue are fired up.
Thesa Burt feels passionate about her faith, which is why the parent-teacher organization vice president starts each Franklin County PTO board meeting with a prayer.
It's so important that we open with prayer so that he gets all the glory and the credit for it.
But tonight, this group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation out of Wisconsin, isn't having it. They call it downright illegal.
It's certainly unconstitutional, yes. And there is case law that supports that. There are court decisions that support that.
The foundation recently sent these two letters to the PTO president and the director of schools, one about the PTO prayer, another regarding a memo sent out to the parents of North Lake Elementary School that said Merry Christmas and told parents to teach their kids the, quote, real reason for the season.
Religious education of children is up to the parents of those children. It's not up to the government.
I felt very violated that I could not pray and that someone told me, you know, that I couldn't pray in my school.
The director of schools is now recommending a moment of silence instead.
We always prefer to work with school districts and not against them.
But legal action, they say, is possible.
God's in control. And with God number one, victory will be won.
Now, the director of schools tells us she suggested the moment of silence because she thinks that's an acceptable way for everyone to pray in their own way.
So this is just one of many complaints going on in Tennessee and area states that our legal staff keep an eye on. Our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, who's out on maternity leave, once devoted a solid month of her life to working life to football prayer complaints there in the South. So it's a constant education to enforce the rights of conscience, particularly of school children, to be free from religion, to enforce that McCollum case and the Shemp case and the successive cases by the Supreme Court against graduation prayer, football prayer, so-called student-led prayer, etc., all building on these original cases.
So as we promised, we're going to hear a little musical interlude. John Lennon was born on October the 9th, 1940, so he would have been 73 years old. John Lennon, who said, "No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine no religion." In an interview Lennon and Yoko gave to Playboy, Lennon said, "This whole religion business suffers from the onward Christian soldiers bit. There's too much talk about soldiers and marching and converting. I'm not pushing Buddhism because I'm no more a Buddhist than I am a Christian. But there's one thing I admire about the religion. There's no proselytizing." John Lennon told Yoko that this was his favorite song toward the end of his life. Here's a little bit of the song, God.
I don't believe magic. Don't believe Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Buddha. Just believe in me. Yoko and me. That's reality.
I believe in reality, he said. God is a concept by which we measure our pain. That was John Lennon's song, God.
Stay tuned. In the second half of our show, we're going to be speaking with Aisha Goss, who's deputy director of the Secular Coalition for America. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor. We are co-directors of FFRF, and we are recapping famous freethinkers who were musical born in the next week, and they include Joe Hill, the union organizer, itinerant laborer, poet, and songwriter, born October 7th, 1879, and best known for this song, Preacher and the Slave. And this is Dan Barker with Kristen Lems.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Long-haired preachers come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky.
The Starvation Army, they play, and they sing, and they clap, and they pray, till they get all your coin on the drum. Then they'll tell you when you were on the bum.
You will eat by and by,
by and by,
in that glorious land in the sky.
Well,
sky when you die.
That's a lie.
If you fight hard for children and wife, try to get something good in this life, you're a sinner and bad man, they tell. When you die, you will sure go to hell.
Bibles tonight, turn with me and read where it says in the holy good book that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the heavens. We want to take an offering tonight, no pennies, no nickels. We want to hear dollars, a silent offering tonight. Let's hear it.
Holy rollers and jumpers, come out. You've seen them, how they holler, how they jump, and how they shout. Give your money to Jesus, they say. He will cure all diseases today.
You will eat by and by,
by and by,
in that glorious land.
By
and by.
That's No Lie. That was recorded, Dan, with Kristen Lems back in 1987. I was in the studio, and I'm in the chorus.
I can hear you singing there.
From the CD Friendly Neighborhood Atheist, available from FFRF.org, a classic by Joe Hill.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for Aisha Goss and the Secular Coalition for America. This is Free Thought Radio. That's Thelonious Monk playing Round Midnight. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome back to Free Thought Radio. Thelonious Monk was a freethinker, a non-believer. He was born, he celebrates his birthday this week, he was born October the 10th in 1917. Of course, he's not celebrating it because he's not around
what
anymore.
Did you know, Dan, that the rest of us don't know?
Thelonious Monk, the jazz composer and the pianist. That song, Round Midnight, is the most recorded jazz standard written by a jazz musician, appearing on more than 1,000 albums. Thelonious Monk is one of only 5 jazz musicians to have been on the cover of Time magazine. He was clearly not a true believer, not a believer at all, writes his biographers. When a journalist, Valerie Wilmer, asked Thelonious Monk, "Do you believe in God?" Monk replied, "I don't know nothing. Do you?" He died in 1982, but the Grammy Award-winning jazz composer Thelonious Monk was not a believer.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are happy to have on the phone with us, she's traveling in Chicago right now, Aisha Goss, Deputy Director of the Secular Coalition of America.
Aisha Goss joined the Secular Coalition just this last December. She's from Georgia. Aisha studied communications at Howard University. She brings to the Secular Coalition of America a wealth of fundraising and event planning experiences from her work with groups such as the American Red Cross and the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. She's also a chef, an amateur chef, so we might want to talk to her about some of her food. She's into party planning and into exploring Washington, D.C. So, Aisha, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Aisha Goss, we worked you into the schedule kind of at the last minute at our weekend conference a week ago in Madison. You didn't have very much time, so we wanted to have you on Free Thought Radio to give you a little bit more time. But I was very charmed by the personal background information that you started your talk with, and I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about your background on religion.
Sure. Well, I'm from a religious family in the South. My family's from Birmingham, Alabama, and the story I was sharing was about my cousin who was baptized this past year. He is 8 and decided that he was an atheist but was forced to be baptized anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he stuffed his pockets and his socks and his underwear and everything else he could possibly stuff with Alka-Seltzer, so that when he was dunked in the baptismal pool, the water started to bubble, and the entire church started to declare that he had a demon in him, and the demon was being freed, and he emerged from the pool and said he bubbled out his Jesus.
He was 8 years old?
He's 8.
Mm-hmm. So, quite a cute sense of humor.
Yeah, I was quite proud. The rest of the family's kind of mortified, but...
And how did you break free from your upbringing?
Well, although I'm from a religious family, my parents were not all that religious. Religion was something that my mother did kind of as formality. It was expected. It was tradition. But there wasn't much investment in actual Christianity from my mother. And then she sent me to a Catholic high school in Alabama, which is kind of the training ground for televangelists. And then after going to Howard University, I was exposed to so many different opinions and religions that it just, I kind of said, stop, I'm ready to get off. I wasn't invested enough to grow my belief. I just kind of, for a while, I just had my own kind of agnosticism, and I would be a part of things that were religious as formality, but it was just, I was very agnostic about religion for most of my life.
Now, before we talk about the Secular Coalition of America, which is what we really do want to do, and you're deputy director there, you are now probably on an unexpected tour, part of your job, kind of going around with Richard Dawkins. You want to talk a little bit about the partnership that Secular Coalition of America kind of now has with the Richard Dawkins Foundation?
Secular Coalition for America.
For America.
Yes. Well, we have, we've worked closely with the Richard Dawkins Foundation in programmatic areas in the past. So we, about 2 months ago, we entered into a formal partnership where I serve as a deputy director of both organizations, of the Secular Coalition for America and the Richard Dawkins Foundation for Reason and Science, and the executive director, and Winna Rogers is the executive director for both organizations. Ah. And what we're doing with the within this partnership is working in the areas that we have common goals and common similar programmatic things going on, and we are helping transition the Dawkins Foundation from a private charity to a public charity, where people can get more involved in the programs and can really invest in the projects from the, for the foundation.
So reason and science and secular values all coming together.
And
yes.
And so you're sometimes accompanying Professor Dawkins now on some of his speaking engagements.
Right. He's in the U.S. right now promoting his new book, his autobiography, The Making of a Scientist. And, we are working with him on the tour. Edwina did the first half of the tour, and we'll be joining him at the end of the tour in L.A., and I will be accompanying him to Chicago, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco.
So maybe we can book him back on Free Thought Radio while he's in the country to talk about his new autobiography. Did you know about that book, Dan?
Yes, the Making of a Scientist. I just got a copy today.
Today. So I haven't seen it yet. So I'm sure all of our listeners will want to get a copy of that, too.
An Appetite for Wonder is the title.
Oh. Well, so now let's talk a little bit more about Secular Coalition of America. And you want to explain what it does?
Sure. Secular Coalition for America is, we have two purposes. We kind of facilitate cooperation among the secular groups throughout the country. So American Atheist, American Humanist Association, a lot of the national organizations are a part of the coalition. And all of the groups come together and decide what programmatic things they want to, they want a voice on the Hill. They want their voice to be heard on the Hill about, and we go to the Hill and lobby about those things. We build relationships, join other coalitions that are not necessarily secular, but have, but that they understand and agree with our ideals, and it broadens our profile of the secular community and gives us a voice to people that haven't listened to secular voices traditionally. The other half of our mission, and that's the other half of our mission, which is going and lobbying on the Hill after we've established among all of the national groups the issues that are important to the secular community right now.
And the Freedom From Religion Foundation has just become a member of the Secular Coalition for America. If Annie Laurie had another life, she would be pounding the halls of Congress as a lobbyist. But, of course, we can't all do everything, can we?
So, Aisha, do you actually go and do some of the lobbying in Congress?
I have accompanied our federal lobbyist and some of her meetings, and I actually have done meetings with other groups like the Republican Senatorial Committee and the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Committee, these groups that kind of dictate. I don't do much lobbying on the Hill, but I do meet with groups that kind of decide who's going on the Hill. What I do the operations for the organization, and I do a lot of the fundraising for the organization, and I work with our member groups in the areas where we may be able to both all benefit, whether it's events or whether it's our lobby day on the Hill, which we're having in June of 2014. That's the type of thing that I work on.
So, Aisha, I think it's an uphill battle in Congress right now, is it not? I mean, right now, Congress is, you know, at a total impasse. So,
right. Congress is at a total impasse over the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And the gridlock that is there is indicative of what we deal with every day. We saw earlier this year we had an amendment introduced that would allow for humanist chaplains in the military, and there we saw the partisanship rear its ugly head again. We had, for the first time ever, a secular issue got 150 votes in the House, but it was completely along party lines.
Do you want to recap that for we've talked about this on Free Thought Radio, but do you want to remind people what that was about?
Yes, it was an amendment to a bill that would have allowed there to be a secular chaplain in the military chaplaincy corps. The reason why it's so important is because secular members of the military go through the same things that every other member of the military goes through. They grieve when they lose comrades. They are homesick sometimes. And for people with chaplains for their particular religion, they can go and talk to the chaplain. And the chaplain can give them counseling or just listen. But for secular people, there is no person that is specifically there to address their needs and be that ear. And if they go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, it becomes a part of their military record and could possibly affect their getting promotions or their being able to advance their career. And that's unfair. And that's the type of inequity we were hoping to rid the military of with this amendment.
I'm sure the evangelical chaplains would love to counsel some of the non-believers in the military.
Counsel
sure
is the operative term there. Well, we are talking with Aisha Khan, Deputy Director of Secular Coalition for America. I'm Annie Laura Gaylor here with Dan Barker, and we'll be back to talk more about what's going on in Congress, what Aisha is doing with the Richard Dawkins Foundation, and more updates.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And why are we listening to Sanctus Sanctus from the Bible, Dan?
Well, it turns out that this week is the 200th birthday of Verdi, Giuseppe Verdi, the famous Italian composer. And Verdi, although he did write one requiem that quotes from the Bible that we just heard, Verdi's Requiem, Verdi was an outspoken atheist. In fact, he was an altar boy when he was young, who grew up to say, stay away from priests. His wife was interviewed once, and she said, Verdi, my husband is such a wonderful, generous, creative, loving, giving man. He doesn't believe in God. I don't understand. I don't think he's an atheist, but he doesn't believe in God.
But so, and it's his 200th, the 200th anniversary of his birth date coming up this week.
It's either October 9th or 10th. They're not exactly sure what was the day, so everyone's picking the 10th of October as his birthday.
And we've heard the secular St. Cecilia Chorus do this, perform this under David Randolph, who was a lifetime member of FFRF, and now they've finally got rid of that saint.
And by the way, Verdi was one of others. Brahms and Berlioz were also non-believers who also wrote requiems based on the Bible as a text, not because they believed it.
So now we have waiting patiently on the phone with us, traveling from Chicago, Aisha Goss, Deputy Director of the Secular Coalition for America. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Aisha.
Thank you.
And we were talking about the work of the Secular Coalition, which it's kind of hard to work in Congress right now, and you were talking about that impasse. But what are some of the issues that Secular Coalition of America is working on?
Well, we're working on science education, accuracy in science education, and trying to fight the intelligent design and creationism in classrooms, as well as medically incorrect sex education. And to that end, we actually had a Hill briefing on Monday with Richard Dawkins and Steven Pinker. We had Hill briefings in the House and the Senate where they discussed evolution, and White House staffers talked, asked questions about evolution and about creation, and they were answered by the number one and number three thinkers in the world, according to Prospect Magazine. Hmm. And they were very well attended.
Was this at the Capitol or at the White House?
It was the first briefing for the House was held in the Capitol. And the second for the Senate was held in one of the Senate offices.
So you weren't there, were you, because you were still traveling?
Yes, I was still traveling.
So, but they were a standing room only, very well attended. I mean, I would think that they would be, that aides would be very excited to meet both Richard Dawkins and Steven Pinker.
They were. They were very excited to meet Professor Dawkins and Steven Pinker, and they asked questions. They were very attentive, and it was quite the coup for us. A year ago, it would have been unheard of to bring two pronounced atheists to the Hill and have the briefings be that well attended. But we've been working hard to build relationships and to help the staffers and congresspeople understand that being secular is something that to not be embarrassed about, that it's something that it's 20% of the population and that they need to pay attention to us. And I think the attendance proved that they are starting to pay more attention to us and our concerns.
Now, Barney Frank recently came out of the closet, out of his second closet as an atheist. Of course, he's not in Congress anymore. And we lost our other secular,
Pete Stark.
Didn't get reelected, there isn't any actual out non-believer currently in Congress. Is that correct?
From Arizona, what's her name?
No.
Sinema from Arizona is, she kind of claims religious neutrality. She doesn't actually claim the secular term.
Who is that?
Kristen Sinema.
So
am
I right that right now we sort of don't have any actively out non-believer who's willing to come out of the closet in Congress?
Right.
So we know they're there.
We do. We are finding more and more interesting people in Congress every day, and we're finding people that although they won't openly say that they're secular, they support our ideals, and they say without saying that they agree.
Well, there's always 9 or 10 of them in the House, for example. I'm not talking about their views on religion, but who are totally supportive of the secular nature of our government. Someone like Pete Honda always votes right. You can help me out. Let's see, the guy from Virginia, you know who I mean? I don't have in front of me, but anyway, they always refuse to vote for these gotcha issues, you know, like reaffirming under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. But we need a lot more than that, don't we?
We do. And I think that we've been finding that, that we get the most success on the Hill on our issues by framing the conversation in a way where the representative or senator can support our issues without making a stand about their own religious beliefs, but that's the way it should be.
Right.
We shouldn't know whether or not they're secular. It just shouldn't be a part of the government.
Right. It shouldn't be an issue.
Yesterday, on Tuesday and Wednesday, Professor Dawkins went to the Hill with us, and he had 15 meetings with senators and representatives about science and education, and they were overwhelmingly positive. There was only one meeting where, you know, the good old party, the grand old party, reared its ugly head.
Aisha, I'm sorry we're out of time. I wish we could keep talking with you.
Aisha Goss from Secular Coalition for America, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our producer and engineer, Dave McCann, for engineering our show. At ffrf.org/news/radio, you can learn all you want to know about this show.
And join us at ffrf.org. You can also ask for a sample issue of Free Thought Today. The October issue is hot off the press with our graduate essays, information on FFRF's amicus brief in the Greece case. So go to FFRF.org and join us next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.